Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm glad we're back for another day. Today is February the 14th, 2014. And it's also Valentine's Day, so I hope you guys are cuddled up today and get your loved ones a nice present. Ladies, the same for your man as well. And if you're not a couple, so be it. It's okay to be single as long as you got family and friends that's love too. And I have a lovely guest on my show today, and her name is Belinda Farrell, who is a HUNA practitioner, and it's teaching you, to me, it's teaching you the ways to become one with yourself. You don't have to be upset all the time. This is a stress-free thing today. So I want everybody to just breathe in and breathe out, because we're going to find your friggin' joy today. Good afternoon, Belinda. How are you today?
Yes, hi. It's morning for us. I know where you are, and so I'm just very honored to be here. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Apparently, it seems like I already have a caller who's calling in, so I'm going to bring them in as well. I know. I haven't even started, but, hey, that's good.
That's wonderful. Bring them on.
So, Belinda, can you give us a little – okay. Well, actually, they must have hung up. Well, okay. Well, Belinda, can you give us a little detail about what it is that you actually do?
Well, HUNA is a word that means secret in Hawaiian. And over 20 years ago, I went to Hawaii, and I was introduced to these ancient healing secrets. And they started to work on me. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. When you start doing something and it's working and you're feeling good and you're feeling relieved and free, then you want more of that. And my body at that time was full of pain. And I had a lot of issues, I guess, around my back. And I eventually used these healing secrets 3 years later to heal my back and not have surgery. I received a brand new spine, and it was like a miracle. It was absolutely a miracle. And here I am almost 20 years later, and I'm pain-free. And then I decided to write a book about the recipe and how people could do that for themselves.
I know, and I found your book very interesting, Find Your Freaking Joy, and I love it. It's another way of covering up when we want to use the real word, but I love it. Can you explain a little bit more about your book?
Yes, it came out of, you know, again, we go through life's ups and downs, and my son had committed suicide 5 years ago, and I couldn't do any healing at that time. I was just in a state of, you know, just deep grief, and then I had lost all my life savings a month later. So everything that I thought was worthy, you know, of my love and security was taken away. I have a daughter, thank God, and a grandson, but my son was gone, my money was gone, and a friend took me to see a movie called The Living Matrix, featuring Dr. Eric Pearl, and I got to witness some reconnective healing. And he didn't even touch the person he was doing the healing on, a little boy with cerebral palsy. And the little boy was walking and got out of the wheelchair. And I thought, I have to learn how to do that. So I got my own reconnective healing session, and all my grief was lifted. And I mean all of it. My joy was back, and it was like a miracle to me. And so I learned how to do this. So went back to Chicago to get training in it and became a reconnective healing therapist. And then I had my reconnection done, and this is where you get reconnected back to, like, your soul, what your soul came here to do. And it was like immediate that I knew I had to write a book. And I really never liked writing before. I just, you know, I like to go outside and play. I don't want to sit in front of a computer and write. But something said you've got to sit down and write about all these experiences, healing your back, what happened after your son, you know, recovering from that. And so for 3 years I sat down to write this book, and it came out last year, and came out the day the world was supposed to come to an end, on 12/21/12. And so that's the day my book went live. I couldn't have orchestrated it better. So that's what it, and it's been just helping people, and it's really for people who want to take an active role in their healing. And I didn't want to go through surgeries and hospitals and all of that. And so, you know, again, these are some hints, some, you know, a recipe to follow, and it does work.
I believe so, and I would love to actually give it a try myself, because there'd be so much stress built up on us with your job, children, family. So you have a lot built on you. This seems like this is a stress reliever all the way through.
Well, it's about cutting cords. It's about not dragging all of the past negative emotions with you everywhere you go. So every day you kind of put a clean slate. It's like seeing all the things that you've invested in for even lifetimes. It could be your boss or your neighbor or your sister or your brother, but they're all extensions of you, and you're going to forgive yourself or cut the cords from the way you're looking at them. And then when you do that, it frees you to be into the present time. People talk about being in the now. Well, the only way to be in the now is to let go of the way you're looking at the past.
Okay.
So that's what this process you know, includes, is being in the now and cutting your cords daily, just like you would brush your teeth.
Well, and I was just saying it today about a certain friend of mine. He was stuck on the past, and I was just telling that to him. You have to let the past go. In order to move forward, you got to let the past go. If someone hurts you, you don't have to forget what they did to you, but in order to heal, you need to forgive them as well as forgive yourself. You have to ask for forgiveness, and that all plays a part, because all that, it just holds you down. But also, Belinda, I was reading that you had scoliosis when you was born, but all that disappeared. It disappeared through the tumor.
It was like a miracle for me to go from being a total cripple. You know, I collapsed. I couldn't stand anymore on my own. I was dragging my leg. I had been a stunt car driver for 8 years. I loved adrenaline. I loved living in the fast lane. And I just, you know, I got into driving race cars after my divorce. And then I got hired to start doing car commercials and films. And, you know, we were going all over the country doing this. And then I was trying to understand these ancient healing practices, because I was in so much pain every time I, you know, would be in a race car or do some spins or slides, because it thrashes your body a lot. And so I had a lot of back issues. But then I found out through the HUNA that whatever I've been saying to myself was contributing to the symptoms I had in my body, because your conscious mind is like the computer talking, you know, you're downloading it into the unconscious, which is running your body. And for all of my life, I was raised thinking that I could not support myself, that, you know, my family had gone through the Depression, and so we had always just said, you have to depend on somebody else to support you. You can't support yourself. And so I've been saying that to my body, you know, I can't be supported. And so eventually my back just got the hint and said, okay, we're going to collapse you. And that's really what happened. So I had to reverse that and change my languaging so that it could regenerate. And so I started to thank my body for remembering how to regenerate, because you're the one that's conditioning it with your own hypnotic suggestions. And then, of course, I had to cut cords and forgive myself for the old ways, and then start seeing myself climbing trees. And you have to have a strong back to climb a tree. So I just, my job was to get the unconscious to feel the emotion of how happy it would be to climb a tree. And then once it gets that emotion, then it sends it up like a, through a pipeline up to the higher part of you, whatever you want to call it, your divine self, your Holy Spirit, your, you know, your God self. And that comes down inside and changes your physical body. It's how perhaps Jesus did miracles. He was connected to the Father, and then he would just see the person seen or the blind men seen, and the lame would walk. And, I mean, that's how the healing takes place. So my back, I was given a whole new spine. I didn't even think about the scoliosis. It just went away when I got the new spine. So the doctors were like in amazement, you know, and so was I.
Because I was reading a little bit of the history of Huna. Ancient people of the earth, years ago, they didn't need coaches or experts, gurus, consultants, or psychotherapists. No. They actually took in this personal development, this healing spiritual discipline that is known by everyone today.
That's right. And see, I wanted to go to that place. I wanted to go to the people who used to know how to heal without all the bells and the whistles. And we have some books now from Max Freedom Long, and I mention him in the book because he was the one who came to Hawaii in 1917, and he just came as a teacher, and he observed these kahunas doing these amazing healings, you know, healing broken bones, people walking, people, you know, things that he just had never seen before. And so nothing was written down. They did not write it down. So he began to write it down of what he observed. And from those books are where I began my studies in Hawaiian healing. And they're listed in the back in the bibliography of the book, of Find Your Friggin' Joy. But it, I just, I wanted to get to the root. You know, I wanted to see what was really, you know, what can we do as people who have intelligence, our bodies will listen to whatever we're telling them. And when we come in with all this emotional baggage, then it's up to us to clear that while we're here and to advance our souls to a higher level. And it's possible. I mean, anything is possible. You just have to get out of the limiting belief that you can't do it.
Yeah, you do. And I love the fact that you did get out of that. Especially doing stunt driving years ago, hey,
yeah.
You know, man would say that's not a woman's thing right now, but you're on that one.
Oh, I loved cars. I loved just being able to control the car and do what it, you know, because everybody had controlled me all their life, and so I could get in this machine and I could control it. And so it was just a real symbol, I guess, of my independence and my freedom. And, you know, I did fine. I got away without getting myself real hurt. And, you know, it's just all a wonderful metaphor for what people can do. Because I didn't, when I went to learn how to drive a race car, this was at Sears Point in Northern California, I didn't even know how to drive a stick shift.
Oh, okay.
So I came with just, you know, I know nothing. You're going to have to teach me. I will be a sponge. And then I found out that I had some talent, and, you know, if you can make your mark and get it on the first try, then you're good to go for these assignments that they give you.
Now, Belinda, what is exactly plague of the soul?
Oh, the plaque. It's a plaque. It's like, you know, how your teeth build up plaque.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the dentist says you've got to take that plaque off or it's going to cause cavities and disease.
Oh, yes.
So the soul builds up that same kind of plaque if you keep the same negative emotions accumulating and thought forms accumulating, then you lose your spirit. You lose the soul. You literally go into depression or you become, you know, drug-induced or, you know, you find some kind of addiction because it takes you down into a dark place. So you want to clean that plaque of the soul just like you brush your teeth every day. You take a shower. Why wouldn't you go inside and clean up the way you're looking at things so that you can be in the present time and find that love to create and to, you know, make something out of your life that you think is fun, you know, really fun, and that helps other people. It's like putting all of your energy into creating and into, you know, whatever you're, you know, you've come here to do. I never dreamed I'd write a book, but here I did write a book, and it feels good. So whatever it is that you came here to do, by cleaning yourself every day and doing this, it's called Ho'oponopono, to make right right. By doing that daily, you're going to feel much more free. And in that freedom, you get new ideas of what you want to contribute to the world.
Yes. For the ones who might don't understand it quite well, how does the plaque accumulate in our bodies in the first place?
Well, by, again, we invest in the negative thought form. Like for me, I invested in the fact that I didn't think I could support myself. So I invested in that thought, and I just kept saying it unconsciously until finally I had symptoms in my body. See, the body will show you, the physical body will show you the illness that you have related to whatever you've been saying to yourself at the deepest, deepest level, okay? So if there's a lot of anger and you get angry for every little thing that comes, you're going to start having heart problems. Because the heart is the center of your body, but it's also the center of love. But it, if it has a lot of anger and resentment, it'll tear down, it'll break, you know, it'll go into attack. And it's the same with cancer and all these things. You become more conscious of what you are saying to yourself that has created some of this at a deep, deep level. And then when you realize, oh, okay, well, if I created it, then I can uncreate it. And so you just begin to start being more gentle with yourself and not saying things that hurt you and reversing that and, you know, putting your hand, especially today, on your heart. Because we all carry some type of anger. I mean, it's, you know, we are a society of, you know, we love to shout out at games and do all these things, but if it becomes really more obsessive, then we start to get angry at ourselves, and then that's what tears at our heartstrings and breaks our heart. Or sadness, lots of sadness that hurts the lungs. And I had a lot of sadness. I had pneumonia many times from that sadness because it affects. Yeah, it affects the lungs. And I've been taking care of that, so I haven't had any bouts with that for the last, since my son died. Because a lot of that, you know, I make sure that I'm forgiving myself for holding on to that. And there's a whole ritual in the book. It shows you how you can put people down below you, the people that you're holding this conversation with. And you're going to breathe on them. So there's an actual exercise to do. And I even have a CD that came out 20 years ago called Chant and Forgiveness. And it's available on iTunes and an MP3. But you can go through the ritual of cutting your cords and forgiving yourself daily. You can't change what happened to you in the past. You can't change. If somebody raped you or abused you, that happened. But if you carry around the poison of the revenge that you want to have on that person, you're the only one that's going to suffer, not that person. So, again, it's freeing yourself from carrying that around so that you can advance your soul. Does that make sense?
It does, because I know sometimes I get burdened like that myself. Somebody makes me upset. As for instance, today I got really upset, and I said, I took a step back. I said, I shouldn't have reacted. I shouldn't have let them play the part on me, because I do understand that, Belinda. People will play off your emotions, and it's only going to hurt you. It's not hurting them. because they're going to do just fine. You know, they have won. And I said I shouldn't have reacted like that so much, and that's why I'm glad that you're on here, because stuff like that, I need breathing exercise in HUNA, because I have to stop letting people do that to me.
Just like right now, if you're willing, just put that person down below you and see her or him, make them very small, put them in your hand. Just put them right in your hand and see them there, and then just take a deep breath and breathe out right onto them like a ha breath. Just do a deep breath at the top of your head and then breathe down on them, on that image. And do it several times. And then just say, I love you, I forgive you, and you're saying this to yourself. I release you. And then just release your hand. I release you. Go to your highest good.
Okay, I release you. I love you, I forgive you, I release you.
Yeah, but you're loving and forgiving yourself through your higher self. And it's like the higher self is releasing them. You're doing it through your higher part of you. That's when you breathe. When you breathe deep like that, you're inviting the higher part of you to come in and take over. Because consciously, with the ego doesn't want to forgive. The ego would rather blame and kill you, because that's what it does. It doesn't want you to look inside of you, because you'll find the answers. It would rather say, no, you go get her, or you go do this, or you look under that rock for love. So this is not through the ego. You're reaching up to a higher part of you through your breath. And then you're just releasing them, and you're releasing the ties. They're like invisible little cords that connect you to them. And then you can just shake your body. You shake your body like a duck would flap its wings, you know, in the pond. Just shake its body, and then it's gone. And then you're back to calmness. You're back home.
How's that feel? It feels good. I do feel a little better. See, I need to start doing that.
And you do it right away when the person pushes your buttons. That's when you know you need to, you know, because it's stealing energy from you. You know, you're only given about $100 a day in energy. And so when you get mad or pissed off, or, you know, your veins start popping out of your face, you've lost about $80 already. And if you already have the rest of the day to go through, you know, you're going to be in deficit.
Now, there's a certain chant that you also do, too. And I think this chant asks the higher self, also known as Kane.
Kane, yes.
Kane, okay.
Yes. Would you like me to sing the chant?
Oh, I would, Belinda, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's about 45 seconds, so just take a deep breath. And it asks for Kane to come down and to put you in divine protection and to lift off all of the darkness and to just leave you in a calmness and protection. Hai nohana ke kuyai kanai hele hele hiya le hiya hiya he te ti ohu ohu e tau a koko ahana kino malui kalani malue ho e o haulu mahi ana ho kanehi kona kahu hoa hoa noa
I do. I feel like it's a relief that's been lifted up off me, some stress being lifted up off me. This is almost better than yoga, because it's a meditation.
The chants are so ancient. Okay. And the sound is what the cells inside of you are responding to, those ancient cells and sounds. And English is too young a language to get to them. So it opens you up to other worlds, like drumming or just anything ancient. You know, we feel that harmony, that connectedness and wholeness. So, I mean, that's why I take people to swim with the wild dolphins in Hawaii, because their sonar goes through the water and it vibrates on your body. And so you lose a lot of the fear and sadness and things you've been holding in. And then all that comes out is unconditional love. So you fall in love when you're with the dolphins. It's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Got to make sure you're with the person you want to fall in love with.
This also reminds me of the movie What Love Got to Do With It, where in the movie they showed the part where Tina Turner had become one with herself, and she started doing, I think they call it the Buddhist rituals, but it made her calm, and she was relieving that stress. She didn't want to deal with Ike anymore. But sometimes,
absolutely,
like we mentioned, people call stress. They are a stress factor in your life, and you have to push them away. That's what this show is all about, people. We got to push them away. Love them from a distance, but push them away, too. Down over there with your negativity.
Yeah, and I once heard, too, somebody told me that there is no such thing as stress in the world. It's only people who have stressful thoughts.
Oh, okay. So it's just a mind thing. Okay.
Well, they're creating it, because the same thing that's making them upset certainly doesn't make you upset, so it's only in their minds.
Okay. Well, now that you said it like that, that does make sense.
You just have them keep their stress, you know. They can go do it, and then you just go off and you just don't hang out with them.
Okay. Well, that would make perfect sense, because they could be upset about losing their job, but I'm not upset. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel compassionate for them, but again, people want to drag you down, or they'll just be like energy vampires, and you know, you just have to be able to, you know, say no. No is a very powerful, loving word.
But they always used to tell us, Belinda, misery loves company, and that's exactly
and
what
it still
is.
Does.
Yeah, it still does.
It still does. But you have a way, again, if it rubs off on you, you have a way of cutting it, of letting it go, of dissipating it, of diluting it, of transmuting it. Because when you breathe down on that part of you that is, you know, hurting, then it transmutes the connection. See, it's like you walking around with all of your plugs in the wall, and you're paying an enormous, you know, gas and electric bill. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't leave your house with all your lights on, would you?
No.
No. So what you're doing is unplugging from the way you're investing in that person or that thought, in the way you look at guilt or shame, or you're unplugging from it so that you have, you know, you don't have to spend so much money, you know, and your energy is like money. You don't have to spend so much inside of yourself. So when you really, if you get sick, then you have an abundance stored up in your savings account to heal yourself.
And as you, as it was mentioned on one of the sites, forgiveness is a way of eliminating these energy suckers.
That's right. But it's just self-forgiveness. It really, this is a self-forgiveness process that the Hawaiians have. They used to do it as a family. They used to do it and gather in a circle at sunset every night. And they would go through all the things that they invested in that day that were negative and that brought them down. And then they would forgive themselves of it and let it go as the sun went down into the water. So I do my cord cutting in the bathtub. I do a ritual every night. I take a bath, and I cut my cords. I see everything that I've done for the day. Even myself, I see, and I just let it go down the drain before I go to bed. It's just, you'll feel so much better.
Now, how does Huna relate to other ancient teachings?
Well, anything that returns you back to wholeness and balance. So, again, you know, going inside is the key. You know, going inside and just clearing the passageway. I know the Buddhists have, you know, meditation, the Tibetans. You know, I think the ancient Christianity, they also started to get it right, but then we started separating, you know, and saying, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a... And so with the Huna, there was no separation. It's just, again, we're all connected. And we just want to, you know, raise our spirit and raise our connections. I was raised Catholic. And, you know, I had to go to confession. And I remember one day I went into the confessional booth and I saw that there was a little hole in the screen where the father on the other side, and I peeked in and he was reading the comics and giving my confession. And I thought, well, he's not taking this very seriously. Why should I?
I mean, it is kind of funny, like, you're actually sitting there reading the comics, and I'm spilling
and
out
I'm starting my heart out, telling you what I've done all week. And I think I was only about 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old, but I just, you know, I decided I didn't want to take it seriously. But I mean, that's, here I am with the major thing of healing for me is forgiveness, but we're just doing it with our own higher self. We're not going to another person to ask for forgiveness. We're asking our God self, our divine intelligence, you know, the part of us that loves us unconditionally and that has never seen us do anything wrong. The only thing that makes us wrong is our ego, our conscious mind. That's the one that carries all the guilt and the shame and things like that, you know, because it's not connected to our higher self. So once I learned that, I learned about the three parts of man, and that's all in the book, you know, between the higher self. Trying to reach the higher self is probably one of the greatest things we can do in our lifetime because it changes our body. It can change us completely, you know, and bring us back into wholeness. So the chants really help, cutting of the cords, just, again, doing some time to ourselves and not investing so much in everything of the world. It's like we're part of the world, but we're not of it. Do you understand? We don't get all upset when the stock market goes down or it goes up. We're just kind of neutral.
Yeah.
And that way we can stay, you know, we can stay in the now.
Well, yeah. You don't. And I always learned that as a child. You don't be the way of the world. The way of the world will lead you to destruction.
Yeah. And it's interesting how now we have almost like a new normal where things, you know, have come down, a lot of corporations. You know, the world has changed so much. And people have lost jobs and downsized. And we're finding it's not going to go back to the way it was. We have to discover how we can adjust and use our talents to provide what the world needs now and adjust to this new normal.
Okay, yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. It makes perfect sense. We got it.
So, yeah, whatever is your talent, like, you know, you're a gifted storyteller, a host, a radio, I'm sure you have so many other talents. You're bringing those to the forefront and thinking of new ways to share that with the world and with others. So it's your gift that you're allowing us to share with you.
Yeah, because that's why I wanted to start this show, because the fact that there are so many troubled souls out here, and including myself, and by having you and my other guests on here, you have enlightened me where I can change my whole perspective around, because sometimes it just takes one little turnaround to really make you happy, because you can still be an unhappy person. And I feel if I start trying to do these practices of Huna, I will become better. I won't get upset quickly. Because I'm a very calm person. It's just that some people can just push that button. That's the thing I have to stop letting people do. Quit pushing my buttons. Because they get away, like you said, they're getting away with, oh, I got her now. I pushed her button.
There's a chapter in the book called The Button Pushers.
Exactly. Now, you are pissing up with that high blood pressure, your heart beating, your heart heated. Thing, all that's rushing in at one time on you. So, and I think this will really work if I start practicing these.
Well, you'll find, I mean, we're all human and we all have these emotions. And I can get my buttons pushed too, but it doesn't send me over the edge like it used to. I just notice, you know, even Valentine's Day is a little bit of a button pusher for me, because you think of all the Valentines that you've ever had and, you know, what's going on now and how you're connected to just that, you know, this one day, you know, when it should be every day should be filled with love. But we're still connected to the way we've been raised. And it's just interesting if you can step back and look at it and then, again, cut the cord and just be grateful for it, because it's teaching you something about yourself, and just be thankful. You know, you don't have any complaints. And then pretty soon you realize, I have no complaints whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
If you say that to yourself, then eventually you'll just see everything as a blessing.
Is there anything that one should know in order to start doing HUNA or learn about it?
Well, they can start with my book, because I do outline how to do the cord cutting, or they can get the Chant and Forgiveness CD, and that's on my website of HUNA Healing, HUNAHealing.com, or they can order it on iTunes or as an MP3. I just had somebody write to me yesterday. They called me on the phone because they had read the book. And they just had, you can tell when some people have entities, or that these are like thought forms that haven't moved in a while, and they just glob on inside the body, and it just makes you feel like you're possessed. And he'd been trying to do things to get unstuck for years, and I told him, you know, go and get the Chant and Forgiveness, and then he also got Sleepy Time. Sleepy Time Chant is another CD that helps quiet your mind. And I got an email back from him that he just says the improvement was huge, and he couldn't believe how many stuck thought forms he had on him, and now he's just feeling free. So he says it's been wonderful. I'm resting deeper, more peacefully in the last 3 days. And he says he's going to use these programs now every day from now on. And this just came. I mean, this just came today. That's why I mentioned it, because he just went right out and, you know, got the MP3 and started using it. And so that's something that can be just automatic, because it'll guide you through cutting of the cords with the people in your life.
Belinda,
and the more you... Pardon?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Belinda.
I'm just saying the more you release these people and these events and things, and you can release the way you look at money, the way you're looking at the IRS, doctors, lawyers, you know, all kinds of things that take your power away. How are you invested in those thoughts? Because it's draining your electromagnetic energy in your body. So when you put them down below you and you breathe down on them, and in the book it has diagrams and pictures of how, you know, that is set up. And every major religion talks about the cords that we've weaved around ourselves. Even in the Bible, it talks about it. The Hawaiians called it aka, A-K-A. It's just automatically, when you see something you like, you make a connection. Or if you see somebody you don't like, you make a connection, because it's an emotional cord that attaches right away. Even the Egyptians had a hieroglyphic that showed these chords in their hieroglyphics, because they practice this too, of trying to cut the chords and get a prayer that would reach up to the higher self. And they knew that if they didn't clear the pipeline, so to speak, that the prayer wouldn't reach and their prayers would be unanswered. So they have a hieroglyphic of a bee, a bumblebee, which is symbolic of the honey of your breath that reaches up to the higher self. And the grasshopper is symbolic of a sticky substance like the aca cords, you know. And so everything we see or do is a connection, but if we don't have an emotional tie to it, it dissipates, it dissolves. But if we want it really bad, or if we intend to keep holding on to it, it forms a cord, and then it keeps wrapping around us, and you could look like a mummy, all, you know, dressed up in cords inside. That's why you've got to dissolve them daily so the plaque doesn't build up on your soul.
Okay. Well, that all makes perfect sense. It does. It's just simple as you're saying it. Now, I know I know that you've been to Hawaii. Now, I heard that even today, Hawaii is one of the most blessed spots on earth. And why is that?
It's not the most. I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying, I know that you've been to Hawaii, and even today, people will still say that is one of the most blessed spots on earth. And why is that?
Oh, yes. Yes, well, I think because it's so far removed from our, you know, from this part of the mainland, you know, it's just a little island, and there's seven of those islands out there, the Hawaiian Islands. They all seem to resemble our root, you know, our different chakras, the seven chakras. And I go to the big island of Hawaii, which is mostly lava, and it's very reminiscent of the root chakra, of the beginning chakra, the way we stand up for ourselves, the way we take care of ourselves, the way we feel safe, the way we deal with our families. Those are the issues that it seems to bring up. And it just, the smells and the sounds, and, you know, it's like paradise there. But it also does, because it's lava, will bring up all of your issues to be handled. So it can be very rough on some people living there unless they let the past go.
Okay.
So I used to sprain my ankle there a lot. And it's interesting because, again, I would move too fast. I was an adrenaline junkie at that time. And I would go from one thing to another, and I wouldn't rest and just, you know, keep doing all kinds of things. Had a lot of people that I was responsible for and seminars and, you know, then it would be like the universe would say, all right, if you won't slow down, we'll slow you down. And boom. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I'd laid up with a sprained ankle.
The body will tell you when you are actually tired. We could keep going as long as we think we can, but the body will actually slow you down. Okay, you need
to. That's exactly right. So you've got to pay attention. You've got to pay attention to wherever that symptom is coming from. And so I started learning to slow down. I started learning to be more mindful and not, you know, not go 50 miles an hour, you know, in a 25-mile speed zone. So, you know, we have to learn from how we're brought down, and that's how we go inside. So there have been great lessons. I've been going there now 16 years, and 10 years was taking groups, and then the last six I've been taking individual clients for a week at a time. In the morning we swim with the dolphins if they're in, or we go into they're beautiful, beautiful, warm, warm waters, and that's healing in itself. And we visit the volcano or whatever it is that person needs. And then I take them through the HUNA classes, you know, teaching them the ancient healing secrets. And it's quite an amazing week.
I bet it is. That sounds so relaxing, just getting away and just breathing, taking it all in at one time. Belinda, do you find any of Hawaiian traditions that might be missing at other places? Like, what is really present in Hawaii traditions that's missing at other places, I mean?
That's the same in another place?
With the Hawaiian traditions as present now, what is missing in other places? Anything that they're doing differently that could be considered in other places that they're missing at all? Because I know a lot of the things that they're doing.
The forgiveness process is probably integral, you know, to the healing practice of the Hawaiians. I know Christianity has the healing practice. I know that the Tibetans and the Buddhists not so much. It's real interesting. They believe mostly in the karma. It's like, you know, once you have the karma, you have to live out that karma. It's almost like you can't forgive or shake it away. I found that kind of interesting because I had a friend who died of lung cancer, and I kept wanting to go inside and helping her heal from that, and she wouldn't do it.
Again,
you can only help people who want to help themselves. You can open the door, and they have to walk through it. So you have to understand and, you know, bless where they are at that moment with their soul. Some people, you know, it's a blessing for them to pass to the next life. They want to, and you can't interfere, or else you'll take on their karma. So
okay.
I just have to, you know, you just have to be mindful of where they are. When I do a session for someone, I make sure that they want to experience their DNA changing, because the DNA will change. But if they don't want it, it's really kind of a waste of time. We have to walk the path together because we're like a healing team, their higher self, myself, and them. So we all have to be on the same page for the healing to work.
What can I do spiritually to involve myself more quickly?
You can breathe more deeply to the top of your head all during the day, and that in itself is going to relax you. You don't have to say, oh, gee, I've got to do my meditation today. You do it when you're in the car. You do it when you're walking. You just remind yourself to take a deep breath through your nose to the top of your head, and then exhale. It's just a very deep ha breath. And when the dolphins come up to breathe, they have to come up every 7 minutes to consciously breathe up, you know, in the air, because they're mammals like us. So if we don't take that deep breath to the top of our head, we go into stress. We go into the adrenaline of the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight or flight. You know, we start breathing through our chest and our mouth, and that's how you create depression and anxiety, and you get, you know, crazy. You go into stress. But if you do that conscious breathing, it bypasses that, and it goes up to your higher self. So that's something you can just start doing, just being conscious of your breath. Can you do that? Yeah, that sounds good. Take it up to, like, it's almost like, imagine that you're filling a glass of water up at the top of your head. And so you're taking that water and then depositing it in the glass. So you're holding it a little bit and then breathe down, grab some more water and take it all the way up. Fill that water glass at the top of your head and then breathe out. So the book suggests that you do 10 minutes of 4 ha breaths at a time. But, I mean, that's when you're, like, home and you're laying down and doing that. But all during the day, you can be accumulating that energy and building it up, building up the water in your glass all during the day, you might get a little lightheaded, but that's because you're sending the blood and the neural networks, you're opening them up in your head, in your face. You're opening up your third eye so that you can see more clearly and ask your higher self to come in. You have an ally with your higher self. Your higher self loves you. And the more you connect with the higher self, the less the issues around, you know, the world and the outside world will be important. And you'll just find that you'll manifest more. You'll create more and just be happier and more at peace.
It sounds like going to Hawaii would be nice to really, I know I could probably do it at my house, but I would love to go to Hawaii.
I know. Well, I invite you. I have one spot left.
Because they said you also, it's not just in the Hawaiian Islands, but you also carry it with you. So you connect with your Hawaii, which is the Supreme Life Force that rides on the breath, anytime, anywhere. And I also did more research on it. They broke it down where they said ha, meaning breath or breath of life, wa, meaning water, but also a code for mana or life force, and I, meaning supreme. So Hawaii
is very, very right. That's the supreme life breath, the supreme love that rides on the breath. So you're connecting with your higher self at the supreme, you know, connection. That's what Hawaii does mean. So you're with the breath, you're bringing that Hawaii and all the islands inside of you.
You are, and I hear it with the, when you're breathing in, the ha, that's the H, you're doing the, and that's just
doing the ha breath.
So, and
it's almost like when you say aloha, when you say the word aloha, it's like namaste. It's like saying I'm saluting the higher self in you as I am in me.
With the Hawaiian teachings and the Huna.
I'm sorry, say that again. You didn't come through.
So is that how yoga actually got started through all this?
Well, the yogas, they have another deep breathing techniques, but I don't think they were as connected to Hawaii. They had their own way, but again, it was all reaching the higher self, so they knew that it was through the breath, so that's why breathing for yogas is also very, very important. All of the ancient teachings that connect to spirit and the higher self is through the breath.
Okay. So everybody breathe in deeply through your nose and out through your mouth.
That's right. All during the day, you can remind one another.
Kids are raising the roof, your dog getting on your nerves, you're stuck in traffic, bumper to bumper, breathe in and breathe out. And that will make us actually a better person if we start doing that. But I know it probably takes practice because everyone's not going to actually try to practice this breathing technique.
Well, instead of road rage, you'll have road breath.
Exactly. See, this needs to be passed on. Remember, this is stuff that needs to be on the news for everybody to learn because, you know, we have a big road rage.
Well, people take out their anger in their cars. You know, if they can't do it anywhere else, they'll do it in their cars. And they're just hurting their hearts. You know, it's again, not being mindful. It takes 21 days for you to really accumulate a habit. So, you know, when you feel like road rage and then all of a sudden you say, all right, I'm going to take a deep breath, and you begin to remind yourself, the more you keep doing it, then it'll become automatic. But for a while, you have to be conscious that you're doing it.
Yeah, you do. But it sure,
and I know you can. I think you're feeling relaxed already, aren't you?
I am, and it's kind of making me not even think about the situation today. I wish I would have known that of this breathing technique. Maybe even did better research before even interviewing you on the technique. That way, I probably could have used that almost what's the other movie, Bad Boys 2, where Mar Lawrence, instead of him getting upset, he would say, woo-saw, woo-saw.
That's true. Yeah, we have our own little techniques.
I'm not going to get upset with you. I'm going to woo-saw.
Woo-saw. Or hoo-ha. I think Al Pacino did that instead of a woman. He went, hoo-ha. Oh, yes. Well, it's fun to laugh and be grateful and just, you know, be in the present. And that's how we find our friggin' joy. And, I, you know, again, it's an inside job.
It is. Are there any principles that you want the guests to know about that they should live off of daily?
Well, I think, you know, I feel it's just extreme gratitude and just being grateful for everything in your life, even the junky stuff, because eventually you're going to look back on it and say, that was really, you know, it taught me something. It taught me courageousness or fearlessness. I mean, you have to be beaten down and get back up in order to learn the lesson from that. If you had everything given to you, it would make you very cushiony and boring. I mean, we have to have the drama in our life, too, but being able to see past it and see the blessings, that's, you know, that's the real gratitude. And then we're just grateful and have no complaints because we're happy.
Yeah. I love every bit of it. And that's the only way, the thing we can grow and continue out our daily life is to be happy. I love certain buttons, and that's for everybody who's listening today. We can't let people push those buttons. We have to stay happy, and that's what it's all about. Sign your freedom.
And you're just going to put a divine blanket around yourself, an invisible blanket, so they won't be able to penetrate through that. And you're just going to, you know, be very invisible to them.
Well, Belinda, if someone wants to get in contact with you or buy your book, how should they go about doing that?
Well, my website is Huna Healing, H-U-N-A, Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G. They can buy the book there or on the online, you know, booksellers, Amazon and Kindle, and all the bookstores order from Ingram. So if they're near a bookstore, they can order it. And again, the website will have the CDs on there that they can listen to and either order the CD or the MP3 or go on iTunes. There are three CDs that are the chanting, and one is Chant and Forgiveness and Sleepy Time and Enchantment. One of the CDs has sounds of dolphins and whales in between, and that one you can listen to in the car, and it also has the breathing and how to connect with the higher self. So there, you know, again, through frequencies we reach our highest potential. So it's not through a lot of talking, it's mostly by just being quiet and silent and breathing.
Yes, and I feel so relaxed right now. I feel refreshed. And if I was going to say, if anyone is just tuning in to the show, if you have any questions, you can also hit me up on technishaday@gmail.com. That's T-E-K-N-E-S-H-I-A, day, D-A-Y, @gmail.com if you want any more information on the show link. And Belinda, we appreciate you for coming on the show. I really do. I thank you for inspiring us all today.
Well, thank you, Technisha. You are love, and just share your love and continue sharing it with others. It's a blessing to have you on the planet.
Oh, well, thank you. And today, as Belinda says, find your friggin' joy. You better dig for it. Find it.
Thank you. Aloha and mahalo.
Aloha to you too, Belinda, and you have a blessed one. Thank you.
Okay. Aloha.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm thanking you today for tuning in. And don't forget, today is Valentine's Day, so show your true love today. Best one, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.